the candy had the flat taste of common theft. As much as anything, I think my dreams of thrilling action, my endless fantasies, were a means of escaping from my mother's radio. Mama was a semi-invalid. A bad heart forced her to spend a large part of each day sitting in a chair, where her consolation was the radio. But she kept the dial at one spot only, the gospel station from Amsterdam. Sometimes it was hymn singing, sometimes it was preaching. Always, to my ears, it was dull. Not to Mama. Religion was her life. We were poor, even by Witte standards. Our house was the smallest in the village. But to our door came an unending stream of beggars, itinerant preachers, gypsies, who knew that they would be welcome at Mama's table. The cheese that night would be sliced thinner, the soup stretched with water, but a guest would never be turned away. Thriftiness was as important in Mama's religion as hospitality. At 4, I could peel potatoes without a centimetre's waste. At 7, the potatoes passed to my little brother Cornelius, while I graduated to the heady responsibility for shining shoes. These were not our everyday klompen, these were our leather shoes for Sunday, and it was an economic disaster if a pair failed to last 15 years. Mama said they must shine so the preacher would have to shade his eyes. Because Mama could not lift heavy loads, Ben did the laundry each week. The clothes had to be hauled in and out of the tub, but the actual washing was done by pumping a wooden handle that worked a set of paddles. This technological marvel was the pride of the household. We would take turns spelling Ben at the handle, pushing the heavy stick blade back and forth until our arms ached. The only member of the family who did no work was the oldest child, Bastian. 2 years older than Ben, and 6 years older than I, Bass had never learned to do any of the things other people did. He spent the day standing under an elm tree on the dyke road, watching the village go by. Witte was proud of its elms in this tree-poor country, one for every house, their branches meeting to form a green archway over the road. For some reason, Bass never stood beneath our tree. His post was under the third one down, and there he stood, all day long, until one of us led him home for supper. Next to Mama, I think I loved Bass more than anyone else on earth. As the villagers passed his elm tree, they would call to him to get his shy and wonderful smile in response. "Ah, Bass!" Over the years he heard this phrase so often that at last he began to repeat it, the only words he ever learned. But though Bass could not talk or even dress himself, he had a strange and remarkable talent. In our tiny sitting room, as in most Dutch parlours in the 1930s, was a small pump organ. Papa was the only one in the family who could read music.